Judy. Martha, he's not on yet, Judy.
Okay, thank you, Martha.
Okay.
No. Sugar was told.
Oh, Sugar was told.
We'll start in about a minute.
Okay, this is Hannah. I'm going to go ahead and mute.
Okay. Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa, Gedula Chemincha, Tati, Terura, Alpet Gimel Yutatadi, Kabel Rinat. Amcha sagbeinu acharenu nora kufreshayan sintet nun. Na gibor dorshe yehudcha kevavat shamrem nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. Barhem Taharem Rachame Sidkatha Tamid Gamlem Betet Resh Tzaditaf Gimel Hasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Nael Adata Et Kuf Bet Tet Nunayan Yachid Geye Lamcha Pene Zokre Kedushata Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumo Shin Kufav Adi Yud Taf. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum Vechanun, Erech Apayim, Virav Chesed Be'emet. No tzechesed la lafim, no seawon wafesha, v'chata'a v'nake. We will now connect to the energy of certainty, utilizing a verse from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. The verse comes from Parashat Yitro, and it's known as Pasuk 29. We will start with the Lashem Yehud. L'shem Yehud Kutsha Barichu Vishkinte Bidhilu Urchimu Uthilu Uthilu Urchimu Liachta L'shem Yudhe Bovavhe V'yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah V'ayhino Amadunai Elohinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kodenei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kodeneihu Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Ane Nam Dekusha Urihu Koma De Aved The Eila Witata Kola Ihu Kishot Biovada Dikshot Belaid Lach Mila Bialma Divae Barnash Vedach Yale Yam mine ya'ulam haga ve'yakalana tehakulu obada tikshot inun wikolai sterich ve'alma. This current year, 5780, is a revealed energy of compensation and a concealed energy of Shefa. The way we reveal the Shefa and connect it to the compensation is by studying a verse from the Tanakh that connects to both energies. Today we will study Leviticus chapter 13, 28. Leviticus 13:28. Ve'im tachteha tamod habaheret lo pasta va'or v'hi keha et tamik va'i v'tiharo akohen ki terevet. The translation, and if the bright spot stays in one place and be not spread in the skin, but be dim, it is the rising of the burning, and the priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is the scar of the burning. The energy of the year 5774 is peace in the Middle East. We study one verse from the Tanakh that connects to this energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wesamti makom liyami liyisrael untati vishakan. Dakta willow yergaz, old willow yosifu. Vene avla la anoto, ta asher barishona. We will now connect to the 72 names of God. Using the tool of saying each letter with its root vowel out loud in sequence.
Wa-e-wa-yo-la-yo, sa-yo-te-a-la-me, me-he-shi-la-la-he, a-ka-a-ka-he-ta, e-za-yo-a-la-da, la-a-wa-he-he-a, yo-za-la-me-be-he, e-re-yo-he-ko-me, la-a-wa-ka-la-yo, la-wa-wa-pe-he-la. Nulaha yo 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 me la hey 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 wa nuta hey hey a yo re ta shi a hey re yo yo a wa me la ka be wa shi re yo hey wa la hey hey a wa ko me nuda a nu yo hey a me re hey a yo yo za. Hey, 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 me yo ha, wa wa la yo la hey, ha a la re yo, a shi la me yo hey, wa hey wa da nu yo, hey hey shi a me me, nu nu a nu yo ta, me be hey pe wa yo, nu me me yo yo la, hey re hey me ta re, wa me be yo hey hey. Anu wa me he yo, da me be me nu ko, a yo a he be wa, re a he yo be me, he yo yo me wa me. We will now connect to the 72 names that were revealed by the Tzaddikim, utilizing the same tool.
wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a ame te me bishi la yo a la yo hey anu a kame ta he he yo anu da la he wa he me a yo ta la me re he me yo yo he me me la wa wa Kabe yo la yo wa te nu la nu me cha yo he yo me nu he 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 wa nu yo he he shi a yo re ta shi a he re la yo a wa me la yo be wa he re yo yo wa la he he ka a ko me nu da nu yo He wa me re he a yo he za re he shi he. Me ka ha wa wa la yo yo he he sa a la. A re yo a la me ta he wa he wa. Ga la yo he yo shi a la me no he a. Nu wa ta me la he a a yo mnu ko me. Yo re la he be he me zau yo re wa he wa be. Yo a he a la wa me za yo he da he be. Me ka ko a la a he he wa re la he. Yo yo me he la yo me he me. Today is the 15th day of the Hebrew month of Sivan. The Tzaddikim who chose to leave this day, Yehuda ben Yaakov Avinu. Yehuda, the progenitor of the tribe of Yehuda, the tribe of the Jews. Rabbi Yedidya Raphael Chai Abulafia, Rabbi Shalom Shechalo, the Tzaddikim who chose to leave the 16th day of Sivan, which will start at sundown tonight, Rabbi Mordechai Menachem Mendel and Rabbi Yisrael Yitzhak Kalish of Borke, Rabbi Shalom Frischman of Satmar, Rabbi Baruch Yosef and Rabbi Yisrael Sack of Kurislo. We will also connect to the Ani meditation. Malchut. Yo aheni wa yo hey, yo aheni wa yo hey, yo aheni wa yo hey, yesod, you ahuni wu yo hu, you ahuni wu yo hu, you ahuni wu yo hu, hod, you ahuni wu yo hu, you ahuni wu yo hu, you ahuni wu yo hu, netzach. Ye ahini we yo he, ye ahini we yo he, ye ahini we yo he, Tiferet, ya ahoni wa yo, ya ahoni wo yo ho, ya ahoni wo yo ho, yo ahoni wo yo ho, Gevura, ya ash, ni we yo. Ya'ach, niwiyoch. Ya'ach, niwiyoch. Hesed, ya'ah eniweyohe. Ya'ah eniweyohe. Ya'ah eniweyohe. Bina, ya'ah eniweyohe. Ya'ah eniweyohe. Ya'ah eniweyohe. Hafma, Ya'ahani wa yoha. Ya'ahani wa yoha. Ya'ahani wa yoha. Keter. Ya'ahani wa yoha. Ya'ahani wa yoha. Ya'ahani wa yoha. And the Ma meditation. Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey. Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey. The eighth verse of the Anabakoa, we say in a whisper. Today's class is continuing our study, which we started last week in the 10 luminous emanations, the Esser Sefirot, rearrangement of the Etz Chaim by Rabbi Ashlag. You'll find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 10. The second column from the left. When the ending page for the 10 luminous emanation classes opens up, scroll down to class 1A, which will start section 4. To remind you, last week we studied the first three sections of the Hakdamot, and this is where we will begin today with Olishem Yehud. I'm getting some static, so I'd appreciate if you would mute your phones by pressing star 6. Lashem Yehud Kutchabarehu Ishkinte Bitkilu Urchimu Utkilu Utkilu Urchimu. Leakta Lashem Yudhe Bovavhe. Beyehuda Shalim Bashem Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah. Lasok Torah Mitzvah. Vayhino Amadunai Elohinu Elena Maasei Yadenu Konenei Elena Maasei Yadenu Konenehu. Section 4, and just to lead off, to remind you of last week, we studied the first three sections. And a hakdamot in Hebrew, the four words to the books, essentially have all of the energy in the book is condensed into the foreword. Section 4. Now you can understand the words of our sages about the verse, therefore choose life. It states, I instruct you to choose the part of life, as one who says to his son, choose for yourself a good part in my land. He places him on the good part and tells him, choose this for yourself. It is written about this, O Lord, the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintains my lot. You placed my hand on the good fate to say, this take for you. The words are seemingly perplexing. The verse says, therefore choose life. This means that one makes the choice by himself. However, they say that he places him on the good part. Thus, is there no longer a choice here? Moreover, they say that the Creator puts one hand on the good fate. This is indeed perplexing, because if so, where then is man's, is the one's choice? Now you can see the true meaning of their words. It is indeed true that the Creator himself puts one's hand on the good fate by giving him a life of pleasure and contentment within the physical life that is filled with torment and pain and devoid of any content. One necessarily departs and escapes them when he sees a tranquil place, even if it seemingly appears amidst the cracks. He flees there from this life, which is harder than death. Indeed, there is no greater placement of one's hand by him than this. And one's choice refers only to the strengthening. This is because there is certainly a great effort and exertion here before one purifies one's body to be able to keep the Torah and mitzvot correctly, not for his own pleasure, but to bring contentment to his Maker, which is called Lishma, for her name. Only in this manner is one endowed with a life of happiness and pleasantness that come with keeping the Torah. However, before one comes to that purification, there is certainly a choice to strengthen in the good way by all sorts of means and tactics. Also, one should do whatever his hand finds the strength to do until he completes the work of purification and will not fall under his burden midway. My commentary. Most people have never read these words of the sages, and those who have read them have not understood them. We today do not keep the mitzvot lishma, as Rabbi Ashlag tells us. Yet God has given us some respite in the process of Gilgulim, reincarnation. Some lives allow us to improve our process and walking the path toward the level of consciousness called Lishma. Are you in one of those respites? Are you striving to reach one of those respites? Section 5. According to the above, you will understand the words of our sages in the Mashevet Mashechet Avot. This is the path of Torah. Eat bread with salt, drink little water, sleep on the ground, lead a sorrowful life, and labor in the Torah. If so you do, happy you will be. Happy in this world and happy in the next world. We must ask. We must ask about their words. How is the wisdom of Torah different from the other teachings in the world, which do not require this asceticism and sorrowful life? But the labor itself is enough to acquire those teachings. Even though we labor extensively in the Torah, it is still not enough to acquire the wisdom of the Torah, except through the mortification of bread with salt and a sorrowful life. The end of the words is even more surprising, as they said, if so you do, happy you will be, happy in this world and happy in the next world. This is because it is possible that I will be happy in the next world, but in this world, while I torment myself by eating and drinking and sleeping, and leading a sorrowful life, would it be said about such a life, happy in this world? Is this the meaning of a happy life in this world? Masechet Avot is a section of the Talmud called the Perkei Avot, the Ethics of the Fathers. And this is actually a mistranslation and a corruption of the depth of this section of the Talmud. People consider this the closest the Talmud comes to the teachings of the Zohar and the Kabbalah. Again, this is a corruption. My commentary. Perkei Avot means section of the fathers. The fathers are not teaching ethics and morals, since the Torah does not teach ethics and morals. To teach ethics and morals lowers the goal of humanity. The goal of humankind is to become divine, to become closer to God, meaning to become like God. But which attribute of God? There are 10 races of angels created prior to man. Each of them has one attribute of God. Humankind has the potential to become all 10 attributes. This is what the fathers are teaching in the Perkei Avot, that you can learn to live all 10 attributes of God. Until you do this, you are in the process. This process will take 49,000 years. We are just in the 12,000 plus of those years. Are there any questions? No questions? Should I go on or wait till you contemplate this? Am I still connected to people?
You're still connected. The 49,000 years, I guess you could expound on.
I think I heard you say it to go on, so I will do that. And I made the connection.
I wish you would. I ask that you expound on the 49,000 years.
Okay. There are 7,000 years to a cycle. We don't have a word to describe the 7,000-year period. We know that there are Shemitah years, which is 7 years. We know there are Jubilees years, which are 50 years. But Hashem has given us 7,000 years to achieve our tikkun. But the tikkun that we're speaking of is not the complete tikkun. The tikkun that we speak of in the 7,000-year cycle is just one of seven. If you read the Torah, if you ever seen the scroll, the word bet of Bereshit has two crowns. Sometimes there are some scribes who are authorized to put four crowns on that bet. The number of crowns on that bet are indicating which of the 7,000-year cycles we are in. So as I said, there are 7,000 years to complete the tikkun of this cycle. But there are seven cycles, or 7 times 7,000, which is 49,000 years. It will take 49,000 years to perfect the 49 attributes that are defined by the Sefirot. We count 49 days during the period of the Omer. Each one of those days represents an attribute of the Creator that we need to cleanse from within ourselves And until we have cleansed all of those 49 attributes, we will not have reached the complete tikkun, which is referred to as the gemar tikkun, the total tikkun. Now, each of the 7,000-year cycles is actually the same as the 7 days of creation. Each day represents 1,000 of our years. The last day, being Shabbat, is a day of rest. And so we only really have 6,000 years, and then we reach the respite referred to as Mashiach. Now, we have prophecies that say when you reach that respite, that period of serenity represented by Shabbat, you will have completed your tikkun for this cycle. But in truth, not everybody completes that respite in that cycle. And so we have a prophecy that says, I believe it's in Isaiah, that says that there are seven flying over Jerusalem, and the rest will be studying the Torah, just like in this period that we are in now, the world of tikkun, the period of tikkun. But once someone has reached the tikkun of this cycle, they can remain up in heaven and not have to reincarnate. But once the 6,000th year is reached, there needs to be this cycle. Have you reached the tikkun of this cycle? Then you will be able to fly. Whatever the meaning of fly represents, flying represents. And if not, you will need to continue, but in a different frame. It's called Olam Haba, the world that is coming. It's a world where the children of Israel receive fulfillment through the study of Torah without having the need to study Torah, without having to earn a living, because the cycle will be understood in the nation of Israel. The nation of the children of Israel will understand that if I share and take care of the people in my network and the people in my worldview, if I am taking care of them, then there is somebody taking care of me. And if somebody is taking care of me, I don't need to earn a living. I just need to study the Torah. And this is the understanding of a nation, which is composed of 600 families. Except the families will be complete. There will be no need for children, meaning no need for reincarnation. There will be a male and a female in unity together. And the female and the male in unity will do the work that they need to do. If they've completed their tikkun, they will fly, whatever that means. And if they have not, they will need to study the Torah and bring sacrifices when they make mistakes, just as it was in biblical times. But not everyone will need to do that. There is a hierarchy at every level. I hope that's a little clearer, but I'm sure it's clear as mud.
No, not at all, because I've kind of come to see that the flying has to do with being under the protection of the cloud as compared to having to ride the donkey. And I don't know. I don't know how to explain it past that. I have it on the inside, but for me, what it's come to mean personally is truly observing Shabbat.
I appreciate what you're saying, but not everybody on the call will understand it, not everybody on the recording. So let me address a little bit of what you've said.
Okay.
Whatever flying means is something that we will discover. But there is a teaching in the Torah and the Kabbalah that the Mashiach will come riding on a donkey, a white donkey. And when you understand the language of branches, which is using physical terms to describe metaphysical concepts, the chamor, which Hannah mentioned, is a donkey. The chamor is also physicality. The Mashiach will come riding on a donkey that is white, white being the color of purity. The Mashiach can come one of two ways, through the path of Torah, as Rabbi Ashlag is explaining in his Hakdamah, or the path of pain and suffering. The Chamor, the riding of the Mashiach on the white donkey, is a path of pain and suffering, a path of physicality. And the alternative path is being able to fly. The alternative path is the path of Torah. But what these terms truly mean can only be experienced. And in order to experience it means that the world that is coming needs to be in your consciousness today. And we are in a world of tikkun, so we find that, I understand it, but Kabbalah tells us an adage, a very true adage. If you think you understand, then you don't. It means that there's more to delve into. There's deeper levels to get to. There's more to this process. But what you understand, Hannah, is excellent. And I can't say that I even understand a little bit. I cannot understand as much as you understand in different frames of reference. But one of the gifts that Hashem gave me is the ability to take words from other people and put them into some semblance of meaning. And that's what I do in my teaching. But don't think that because I do that I understand it. Because there's levels called Hakma and Bina. Hakma is our unconscious level. Bina is our conscious level. The process is to expand our conscious level to include all of our unconscious level. And if someone reaches that level, they'll be put in an insane asylum in the world of tikkun. But in the world that is coming, they will be in a wonderful place of serenity. And that is why most of the tzaddikim, most of the people who reach these higher levels of consciousness, slip back into the world of tikkun. Sometimes to assist others, and sometimes because of the mistakes that they make.
I'm complete for now.
Okay, well, about the only other thing I'd like to add is that what I saw as a personal message for me was to begin to do teachings that had to do with moving from Mashiach being something in the future, the world that is coming, to more practical, everyday consciousness with bringing Mashiach. So, and I'm not sure what all that means, but, you know, it had to do with the birds, too, that tried to come into my house, which is the tech too long, and we don't need to get into that. But thank you. That was, I had thought maybe you might say something about when you said the two crowns. It's because of our exile being so long. I was wondering if I was remembering it correctly, that because our exile has been so long that we wouldn't need to have 7,000-year periods, or, you know, that this could be the last.
That is a teaching of the Ari.
Okay.
But he doesn't go into details of it. He just says, we don't need to do the last five cycles. We are presently in the second cycle, and which would be Gibborah, and we don't need to go to the other five. But to see that most of the sages disagree with the Ari on this subject. And one of the reasons, if you start to contemplate, you know the legend, the Midrash, that says there's 974 generations prior to the generation of Adam and Eve.
Right.
And that's referring to the first cycle. Now, how many years is a generation? If you say it's 70 years, then 974 gives you somewhere in the range of 6,400 years, or maybe even a little more. Essentially, it's a 7,000-year cycle. So, was their period really shorter than ours? Yes, we know that the people of the Bible time, biblical times, they had a consciousness that once the first temple was destroyed, and when they went into exile for 70 years, they then received the permission to build the second temple. And they said, oh, it's only going to be 300-400 years, 500 years more. But it turned out to be 2,500 years more. So, was the first cycle much different in length than the second cycle? Probably not. The first cycle represented Chesed. The second cycle that we're in represents Gevurah. So it does give some understanding to why this is such a horrible world to most people. Although the truth is, if you look for it, you will see true beauty and loveliness, not judgment in this world. Just cause and effect. But be that as it may, will there be a need for Tiferet? Or the fact that we have learned in the first cycle Chesed and the second cycle Gevurah, and so we will have both within the souls? Only time will tell. The higher souls that have spoken about this, have written about this, from my understanding, there's this machloket. There are some that say we don't have to do the other five, and there are others that say we do. Any other questions?
Thank you. That was Very good. Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and mute again.
Okay. Section 6. However, it is explained above that engagement in Torah and mitzvot correctly, in its strict condition, is to bestow contentment to one's maker and not for self-gratification. And this is impossible to achieve except through a great labor and exertion in purifying the body. The first tactic is to accustom oneself to not receive anything for one's pleasure. Even the permitted and necessary things for the existence of one's body, such as eating, drinking, sleeping, and other such necessities. Thus, one will detach oneself completely from any pleasure that comes to him, even in the necessities, in the fulfillment of one's sustenance, until he leads a sorrowful life in its literal meaning. And after one becomes accustomed to that, and his body possesses no desire to receive any pleasure for itself, it is now possible for him to engage in the Torah and to keep the mitzvot in that manner also, in order to bestow contentment upon his maker, and not at all for his own pleasure. When one acquires that, one is rewarded with tasting the happy life, filled with goodness and delight, without any blemish of sorrow, which appear in the practice of Torah and mitzvot, lishma. It is, as Rabbi Meir says in Navot chapter 6, anyone who engages in Torah lishma is granted many things. Moreover, the whole world is rewarding to him. The secrets of the Torah are revealed to him, and he becomes as a flowing spring. It is about him that the verse says, taste and see that the Lord is good. One who tastes the flavor of the practice of Torah and mitzvot, lishma, is endowed with seeing the intention of the creation by himself, which it is to do only good to his creations, as it is the conduct of the good to do good. Then he rejoices and delights in the number of years of life that the Creator has granted him, and the whole world is rewarding for him. As an unwritten commentary, I'm just going to tell you a story of Rabbi Akiva. In his later life, would sit to eat. He would sit at the table, and he would think, sometimes he would whisper, body, you go ahead and eat something because I know you need that sustenance. It's okay for you to go eat it. I'll wait until you're finished because I don't need to eat this physicality, but you do. And I need you and you need me. And so go ahead and eat. I'll wait. Here is my written commentary. The Kabbalists teach that we cannot control the world, only our reactions to what happens to us while we are in this world. Therefore, Rabbi Ashlag is not saying that we are not supposed to receive wealth or health or pleasure. In fact, we are supposed to receive this so that we can learn how to receive it properly in a manner that gives contentment to our Maker. What is the concept of contentment to his Maker all about? I should rephrase that to be our Maker all about. I will tell you that you will not comprehend this at all. Your maker is the vessel, since that is what made the agreement with the fulfillment in the endless world. You are the vessel, so you are the maker. What gives you contentment gives the maker contentment. What you desire is what the maker desires. This is contrary to the teachings of the Western religions. This is part of the corruption of the Eastern religions. Since religions are created by man prior to the completion of the 49,000 years. Here is a hint. Receiving pleasure is not contentment of the maker. Receiving pleasure is the purpose of the creation of the creatures. What is the meaning of contentment of the maker? Is a question we all need to contemplate. Are there any questions? Just for the record, we're almost out of time, so let's discuss the questions, and if we go over time, that's fine, but we will not be going on to Section 7 yet. Next week, while you're unmuting yourselves, our 3 o'clock class today is an advanced reincarnation class. Monday, we have 3 classes, one of the basic principles of Kabbalah. That's at 11 o'clock West Coast time. 4:30, we have a deep Zohar class. And at 7 o'clock, the writings of the Ari. Does anyone have any questions? If you don't have questions, perhaps you know the meaning of Lishma. Typically translated as for its own sake. Now you can begin to understand that the vessel, you do a mitzvah for the vessel. You do a mitzvah for yourself, your own sake. Because the vessel is you. And the mitzvah is a connection to cleanse and purify yourself. Any other questions?
Another comment, I do think that the period of Shavuot that you put us to experience also really helped with purifying ourselves.
It does.
You know, so even if you didn't have anybody to purify, you found it out in that class.
But Hannah, I didn't put you into that period or have you do the fasting. You chose to. You're in control.
No, the Shogavim was that period, you know, that 6 weeks period that we read different sources and all that had to do with sexual improprieties. Well, I didn't think I had any. But after several years of you exposing hidden. I mean, if you couldn't even, you know, if you even saw a billboard, that was an impropriety. So, you know, I think that I didn't see that mentioned anywhere on the handout. And it made me think, you know, how valuable that class was for those classes.
They are. And I thank my teachers for presenting them to me. And as I said before, Hashem has given me a gift of how to explain things. And Baruch Hashem, you know, the group is growing. People are coming, finding the internet, finding the website from all over the world. So the lessons are being reached, and the funds that help me expand the website allow me to live and support myself through those donations and through the process. It's really a gift to me to be able to study Torah like this. So I hope you all appreciate it. And as I've always said, if someone is able to make the donation, they should do so. And if they're not, they'll never be going to be turned away. We're here to teach. Question is, are you here to learn? And that's a question only you can answer.
Learn and put to practice. The next step.
Learning. Well, when I say the word learning, I mean the doing. That's mm-hmm. the whole amazing statement at Mount Sinai. We will do, and then we will learn.
Mm-hmm.
So when I use the word learning, I'm talking about the effects. Because what is the effect of doing a mitzvah? The ability to learn the meaning of the mitzvah. Do you learn first and then do? You're in an upside down world. Just for the record, we are in an upside down world.
And we do have to hear it before we can know to do it. So, although on some things I think we know in sign what's the right thing to do, even if we hadn't read it or been taught it or heard it in a lesson, you know. But I know what you mean. But thank you.
You all have a beautiful week. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you, Hannah.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. Thank you.